point.
I mean,
so, yeah, that's interesting. I was just going to say, I'm interested in if you wanted the people in the Poetry Society, the regular, the locals, to get into it, or if that wasn't an issue, or if,
well,
you
in
know,
a way, I didn't. I sort of was
a terribly private, personal journey for public space.
Well, I think. I mean, it wasn't. There were people engaging with it at different times. You know, people who used the cafe regularly or who I spoke to about it, people did engage with it. But in a sense, it was kind of an experiment, you know, to not to keep it at that end of things and to see what would happen rather than, I mean, I could have publicised it more, or tried harder, or done other things, but actually, I wouldn't have had that. I mean, in a way, it's keeping myself in quite a sort of alienated position in relationship to it. I mean, that's not something I want to therefore keep doing. You know, that's not in and of itself interesting, but it was interesting to experience that. To explore it in this, in the edges of that, in this context.
And the German piece is cast bronze, and you've done granite bollards.
I have, yeah.
But these are much more ephemeral, transient, you know, fan materials.
Yeah.
Was that a deliberate move away from other kind of stuff, or was it just because of the residency where you were doing it?
I've always worked with a really wide range of material. Well, always. I mean, since 94, 95, I've worked with wax crayon sharpenings and pencils, and found objects, you know, other found objects. So it's. I'm interested in the range of material. You know, I sort of choose what I'm working on because of its appropriateness for what I'm trying to do at the time or the subjects I'm trying to work with, not because I work in a particular material.
But it wasn't necessarily the residence. It wasn't the space or the environment that dictated the materials. It was just.
Well, to a certain extent, yeah. I did think about bringing marble into it, you know, obviously, and doing it sort of covering the skirting board with marble, but I decided not to bother and just to paint it, you know, make fake marble.
Right.
And that was good enough. And that, I mean, you find as much of that in Rome as. Well, possibly, I don't know. There's a lot, you know, there's also fake marble as well as the real thing, or have photographs of travertine. You know, so I also kept it easy, you know, in terms of physically and materially. So it was possible, and it did have this sort of fluidity. So it wasn't about things, you know, whilst I was in the end, I did screw the trowel to the wall because I tried, you know, I wanted it to stay, but they ripped out the wall plug. I mean, it was incredible. But yeah, it wasn't that kind of space to have something that was really fixed, in a sense, anyway. And the project very quickly, before I'd even started, really, wasn't that kind of project. It wasn't that kind of project. Yeah.
So, what were your first impressions of Carlstock? Common when you, because your project in the Lake District was a building and you wanted the countryside to come in, and with this one you wanted Rome to invade. What were your first impressions of the Road to the Future kind of space, and how you'd
deal with it? Well, I mean, coming here, not probably not so much the space, but the experience of coming here And driving from the station, it was like, because I hadn't been in the countryside for a while, and it just felt like I was going deeper and deeper and deeper into the countryside. And all what I really wanted to do was just shut my eyes. Actually, it was sort of
what from the train travel.
Yeah, getting in the car, and travelling into the countryside. It was like the only way. That experience of going deeper into the countryside was so pleasurable, really. That I wanted to keep going, and the only way I could do that was to shut my eyes. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing, really. I'll keep it at that. Because otherwise I'll start going on another. Anyway, just the conclusion of this project is that I always wanted to stage a kind of excavation and withdrawal, final withdrawal of the project at the end. And then an artist called Rob Pruitt was doing a flea market. He does these flea markets at Tate Modern over a weekend in December of that year. And I was invited to take it and be part of that setup. And it just seemed like the perfect way, really, to be able to pack everything up. And anything that could move that was... that wasn't stuck to the wall or drawn on the wall. Anything that I could take, I packed it up, got in a cab and took to Tate Modern and sat behind this market stall for a weekend. And everything here, the project then was on sale because it was a flea market. Everything you could buy everything for £100. Which was a bargain, really, because there was all sorts of, materials, and that frame, that big frame with the grapes in, was over £100. But if you wanted an individual thing, each individual thing also cost £100. So there was this kind of dilemma, in a way, because obviously then it was really expensive. Let's just look at the final... So this is just... the stuff and the fair and Stephen looking a bit dejected, and it was quite something to sit in there for the weekend.
Did you sell
very much stuff, did you? No, nothing. because no one was prepared to take that. I did have a condition with if you bought it all for £100, you had to keep it all together, because otherwise there'd be a fine of £10,000 or something ridiculous. So, and in a way, I really, basically, I didn't want to sell it unless it was worth selling it. And it would only be worth selling it if it stayed as a collection. So just to point out, I rolled up the running track. That's that sort of thing at the front. I don't know if you can see it. So that became a portable running track. That's the only thing. Okay, that's the end of that.
Were you interested? Were you influenced by Arte Povera for that whole?
Well, in relation to the Lake District project, I ended up reading about them. Kind of, I didn't while I was doing it, because I already had read, I already knew about them quite a lot. But having done that, then I reread that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, in a way, I think the Lake District project is more influenced by Art Proper than this, in a sense. But I think, yeah, there are carryovers, or whatever you'd say, yeah. Okay, let's go back. How are we doing for time? Are we all...
It's 6:30.
Is that all right? Should I hurry on? Yeah.
We said 5 to 7. We haven't got
a... Did we? We're all right. Yeah, okay. So in the middle of that, one of the things that I went on loan was... Well, the thing that went on loan, actually. These were Italian military trousers that I found in an army surplus store And I used them as part of this project. I was invited to do a project in Oslo as part of another artist. Well, this other artist was doing a residency. And I decided to try and build Rome out of Oslo in a day. So basically I went there and spent a day collecting stuff, and then spent a day building it. And I started before it was open to the public, and then for about 3 hours it was open to the public whilst I was building and turning things around and trying to put things together. And then it was closed, and then I sort of finished it off, and it was left in space as a sort of installation that was there for other events that happened. This was a tree trunk that I found that, you know, it was like the size of one of those columns that lie around Rome, that was at the bottom of the stairs. It was right at the top of the stairs, so this was the thing. Bit like not bothering to carry it up. That was, I mean, it was a sort of daft thing in a way. What it looks like is, I don't know, it's sort of be so, I don't know, it's just a pile of stuff that in the end I just pushed into the corner. Because having it, pushing it into the corner just meant that it was like, it just became what it was going to become anyway. Just this, like this pile of stuff. It wasn't trying to be an object, it was like a pile of stuff in the corner. I screwed some things together and I sort of hung things. That's called a grandiosa pizza, which is a very popular pizza in Norway apparently. And I found Norwegian glitter and made this kind of campfire thing, and had the pizza was frozen, so it was a bit disgusting, really got fell off the wall. And bits of bottle. I mean, it was very rough. The whole thing was very rushed. Bit of flooring. I decorated the edge of this polystyrene case with a gold oil paint, oil stick. And there's water in there as well. Had a bit of water, fire extinguisher. These boots that I found. I mean, incredibly, found them in the bin. A t-shirt that I found I was wearing it in the first. Yeah, so I found the t-shirt in a second-hand market, and found the boots. Brought the trousers with me, and then I put gold epaulettes on the t-shirt for later on with the glitter. So this was sort of debris around the back. Okay, that's that. Final project it's an ongoing project that I'm working on collaboratively with someone who, he was in London, he's now living in Korea. And this is something that we do on eBay. And it's basically, we list objects that don't have kind of automatic monetary value, you know, worth in the system, as it were. Now, okay. And show. Starting to feel a bit strange, actually. We'll see how we go. That's that. That's that. Okay. I'll open this. This is. That other page is a screen grab, so you can't see the whole thing because we haven't got the internet. It's a bit tricky, so I'm going to have to jump between pages. But so this is one of the listings. Lucy's Plant Support. So other artists are invited to also list things. And there's a machine wash. Clay fragments, so they're from the Rome project. So some things from other projects sort of end up there. they're sort of things that artists are really fond of or love or really care about and perhaps keep for years but aren't of much value. You know, they're never going to become art, no one else will particularly want them, and they take up they take up space. So it also might include artworks, you know, that are also, that you might have had for years, that also have, are of a kind of questionable value too. So, and we've been doing this for about a year now, and we've sold about 40 things, and we've listed, I can't remember how many we've listed. This
just
is
people you knew, or just to
both curiously. We get, it's quite a curious. I mean, one of the nice things about this project again is that it's available to anyone. You know, people browse the web, and we get inquiries from people that are utterly, you know, they want these objects or they want this stuff, and we get inquiries of people that, I mean, I had one recently. I'll show you it in a minute. This mud stud that I put listed, and that I extraordinarily sold for £5.50, and I had an email from someone wondering, well, how do I make this thing? What's it for? You know, if it's got this kind of mandatory value, I could start making these things, which is perfect. You know, that's for us. That's also in, you know, those kind of things are interesting. So we're collecting all the emails that we get, the questions that we get, and we're planning to make a publication of all the listings and that those kind of exchanges and the sort of accounts and all that sort of stuff. So with each listing there's an image. That one's not a particularly good example. I'll show you one in a minute, but then there's a description that comes with it. This one's late 20th century legacy of a win. And actually that's not the best one. To move over my head. So there's the photographs, actually that doesn't do what I'm saying. Some of them are kind of collage photographs. And we try and take photographs that are sort of aesthetically have a bit more of an effort put into them than the average thing that goes on eBay, I suppose. And the prices, we kind of play with a little bit. Roof over my head hat. Will cover your head, includes foam pads for comfort, can be used in combination with woolly hats, with official snow.
We had the Newport Hat Festival recently. That would have been a big
hit. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
If only we'd known.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, that's Kluger in Korea. And then one more, Tatlin's Tower. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. That's in case we had questions about Tatlin's Tower. Where's it gone? Oh, maybe. I know it's here. It's on the same list. Okay. So that's actually a China graph pencil waste thing. a photograph taken on top of a Bible, actually. I mean, sort of a bit of a diatribe about that.
Who from?
Pardon?
Who was the dad's right?
Oh, that was me. That was from me, yeah. Yeah, that was my own personal dad's one. eBay, it's curious, eBay changed their list, so now you can list the condition and the scale and packaging and different types and things like that. So, I think that's about it. Actually.
Has anybody from eBay commented? I mean, the actual company?
No.
They actually.
No, I think we're quite careful to stay within the rules.
But there's no one inquired to you, what are you, I mean, not, just curious.
Not that we're aware of, no. Not that
you've
we're aware of.
Flood,
I mean,
flood the site with, I don't know how many items you've put up on the site, but you probably have to.
Well, not that, I mean, we put about 8 new ones each month. I think we've probably got over 100 now. But we don't put all the 100 up every month. And As long as you, I mean, some people, you know, there's thousands, I don't know how many things are on eBay. There's just an extraordinary amount of stuff on eBay. I think, you know, we're in a pea in the ocean to mix. Yeah. I don't think that you're not allowed to, or it has to be a tangible object that you're selling. That's one of the main things, which I have sort of flouted once. I sold a rainbow that was I found in my kitchen, on my kitchen floor. But it we got away with that. I haven't heard anything yet. Yeah, no, what we're doing is perfectly, you know, we're not, it's, we're selling them, people are buying them, so it's, I mean, not an excessive amount of stuff, but it's yeah.
And is are you in an art bit? Is there an art bit on eBay?
There is.
Yeah, are you in it?
No.
No.
We don't put things in. The one thing that we do, actually, that is a bit, is we put things in categories, different categories. We never use the art category. It's horrendous. I mean, I wish I could show. It's just, well, not horrendous. It is what it is, you know. It's just not, the minute we put it in the art category, it's art. And I'm not sure if that's art. I'm not interested in whether it's art or not. It's what I want to do. I think the project's art. I probably would say that. But the actual individual thing, I mean, and these things are within that, so it is, but it doesn't sit in that category in that way. You know, and I'm more interested, they do tell you which, oh yeah, at the top it says, so this I put under models of yesteryear.
But you say they don't have monetary value, any of these things, but I mean, if you put any of these in a frame, or in a, you know, on top of a pedestal, suddenly, you know, they quite clearly do have potential monetary value because you have framed them within an art context.
Yeah,
quite
well,
clearly
they
are
do.
Because
they
this
do.
Is an art project, and you're an artist, and you're involved with work.
Yeah,
with
and
an
it
audience,
does.
So.
And when I said it doesn't have monetary, it does. We've given it monetary value by putting it on eBay.
Mm.
I mean, that's part of the project.
But
I mean,
15 years down the line, this page itself plus the object could end up
yeah.
Christie's.
Yeah, it could. I doubt it, but it could. But it so could other things that are on here. You know, I mean, it's, in a way, it's the principle of, it's become that by us doing that, rather than if you found that thing, I mean, in your, you know, I kept it because I liked it, you know, not because it had an implicit worth.
Yeah, but that's the worth.
Yeah, no,
like
precisely. Well, that's the project. Isn't it? That's the
I mean,
project. It's like it's
your
yeah. I mean, it seems
it's the sharing.
It's
the yeah. It's
yeah.
the sharing of with whoever of things that I find to have worth in the world. I suppose that's that. And I mean, and sometimes that involves making stuff, and that, sometimes that just involves putting it. You know, it's a very Duchampian kind of model, isn't
would
it?
Would you see yourself in that line of Duchamp? Voice, you know, Barty Povera.
I mean, it's a weird thing to do, isn't it? For me, that's a weird thing to do. But it, yeah, I mean, they're really relevant to what I'm doing. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, to deny Duchamp in relation to this would be farcical.
And also the Jerwood piece. It seems to be that joke and the
humour. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Much.
Yeah.
And the
no,
bronze
okay,
is almost
I'm
immaterial. I mean, it's almost irrelevant, but it's just a useful material for the joke.
Yeah, it was the best. Yeah, no, it was. It was the best material for the. Yeah, and on lots of different levels, both visually, physically, and you know, historically, in terms of it being. You know, an art material. Yeah. other questions?
Thanks, Judith. It's quite nice to be tantalised about what you think about here and what you're going to show, what you're going to do eventually in May, sort of April, May next year.
Mm.
I quite like the way you didn't really answer the question.
Well, I did, exactly, but I didn't go further, yeah, because it's in process, and in a way, if I start, I could have spent the same amount of time talking about that, and hopefully
yeah.
there'll be other times to do that. I think once the works.
I mean, we wanted to do the artist talks but we all met a few months ago, and the idea came up to kind of almost introduce the artist to whoever wants to come, and then there'll be the work, and hopefully you'll come back. See what that is.
What the hell has happened?
There'll be another chance to talk.
It's kind of a slow conversation, slow sort of collective conversation. I think that's a nice way of doing it. And also, if I start talking about it now, it will never be what I talk about it. You know, it just can't correspond. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I'd just like to say I've got some raffle tickets I've printed up as a kind of crowdfunding exercise for the project, if you'd like to buy. Grateful.
No prizes.
There are no prizes.
Switch that off. We can all talk.
Thank you.